about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. We live in blissful ignorance of how bad we are and how badly we're performing. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
I'm Bob Duke. And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, multitasking.
This is an interesting topic because most of us, I think, are overly confident that we can do more than one thing at the same time. But it's very, very clear, not just from experience in naturalistic environments, but in controlled environments, that we can't do that, that our brains are designed in a way that allows us to focus on one thing at a time. And even though we're often able to flip back and forth among things in a way that makes it seem like we're paying attention to more than one thing at the same time, we're really not.
And so what exactly is multitasking? Is driving in your car while you're talking on your cell phone multitasking? Is like looking at Facebook and your bank account and email and, you know, also writing a paper? Is that multitasking? Is cooking and answering questions from your child while they're doing homework multitasking? What is it?
Yes.
Yes. Every one of those.
They are multitasking. Anytime that you're trying to do more than one thing at the same time, you're multitasking. And then the question is, how bad do you get at the several things you're trying to do at the same time? And there's a bunch of factors that play into how bad you're going to do. One of them is, how much effort does each of the separate tasks require? The problem is that we're actually quite bad at figuring out how bad we are at multitasking, because
exactly.
The same areas of your brain that you use to monitor your performance, those are the areas of your brain that are being soaked up by the multitasking itself. And so we live in blissful ignorance of how bad we are and how badly we're performing, which means you actually need somebody else sitting with you to tell you, oh, that's, you're really not doing well at all.
Is this a really attractive subject to talk about right now in psychology? Or is this something people have been talking about for years and years and years, and now it just seems really prominent because of everything that is vying for our attention?
Well, psychologists aren't surprised that people are bad at multitasking. We've known this for 50 years. We called it dual task performance. And we did studies where essentially you made people multitask. You gave them something to do, and then you gave them something else to do, and you watched how things broke down. So we weren't the least bit surprised to find out about this. It's just that in many ways, it took the rest of the world a long time to catch up because it was harder to multitask 50 years ago. You couldn't lug your typewriter into a meeting. That would be weird. You couldn't lug your phone into the car, and even if you did, it wouldn't work. So there weren't as many opportunities to do all that multitasking. And what technology's done for us, it's done many things, but one of them is it's just made it easier to bring our multitasking into every environment that we're in. And so now we have to learn to protect ourselves from ourselves.
So why is this such an attractive option to us?
There are two things that explain this persistence of wanting to multitask, I think. One is the fact there is inconsistent negative feedback when we're doing things that are diminishing our capacity. That's one issue. And the other thing is it relieves us from whatever boredom we have. Again, you're in a boring meeting. Well, I can get some email done right now. Now, you might miss something consequential, but the chances are you won't. So the likelihood of something bad coming your way as a result of your having made that decision is very, very low. And as Art was saying a minute ago, we're very poor judges of how well we're doing in a situation at a given moment, unless we're getting some feedback from the environment that's getting into our perception. And most of the time, we're not getting any negative feedback. We're just, things are going along and everything seems fine. So why would I not do this? I mean, and anytime anybody, any human beings persist in things that are dangerous or people, you know, say in some way will ultimately be unproductive, it's because there are no short-term negative consequences to dissuade us from doing so, right?
Yeah. There'd be no phrase 2020 hindsight.
Yeah. Right. You know, right.
If exactly. We could see all this stuff in advance.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Robert Duke. You mentioned protecting yourself from yourself, but it's also very difficult to know that you're not doing very well at a task when you're multitasking.
Right.
So what do you recommend people look out for, and how do we protect ourselves from ourselves?
The thing to look out for is multitasking. You should just assume that when you multitask, you're going to do worse at things, and that if there's any possibility that doing worse is going to be a problem, skip it. That's one piece. And then as far as protecting yourself from yourself, I mean, the lure of all this technology is really strong You know, I mean, I have the urge right now to pull my cell phone out of my pocket and start checking messages, but that would probably be a bad thing. So what do you have to do? Well, shut the phone off. You know, don't keep your email program up while you're at work so that that badge keeps reminding you of each new email that just came in, which chances are is spam or another great email from KUT. And so we need to find ways to just remove the temptation to multitask from our environment, rather than expecting that somehow we're going to have the willpower to overcome the desire to do all these things at the same time.
And that has to do with our perception that we're making conscious decisions to act the way we act, when so much of our actions, so many of our actions, are guided by non-conscious responses to the environment that's around us. And as Art says, you turn off the email program, you're not going to be distracted by your email. You put your phone off while you're driving, and you're not going to be tempted to pick up the phone and make a call, or certainly you can't answer a call. So all of the things that we can do to change the environment then make it easier not to multitask, rather than saying, I'm just not going to make a phone call while I'm in the car, but your phone's in your pocket and you can pick it right up because you just thought of something and you need to call somebody to remind them of something. When you take away that opportunity, you now reduce the likelihood that you're going to fall to temptation and multitasking.
Or you're worrying about the fact that you might be multitasking.
Right, exactly.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll take a look at how to deal with difficult people with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes and iTunes U. And follow us on Twitter at the number 2, G-O-Y-H. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.